Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
The word came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Somebody say, get up and go. That great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, to hear more than tradition. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, run like Jonah. Praise God. You may be seated. Our four key words when we're talking about Jonah, his life, his call is running. The direction that you're running. We all should be running. We run a race, Hebrews 12 says. Which direction are we running? And from the very onset, we talked about don't run from it, run to it. My encouragement to students the last couple weeks is, I ask every one of them, are you excited about school? Can you believe 100% said no? And this was my encouragement to them. It's coming whether you're excited or not. So you might as well turn your frown upside down. Because if you're dreading it, it's going to be dreadful. But if you make it great, it's going to be great. And so what direction are we running from it or running to it? I'm running to it. I'm like David and Goliath. You give me a giant, I'm going to knock him on his back. I'm running to the things of God, running towards the promise of God, running to Jesus himself. Number two, how we respond. Running is one. Respond is two. How we respond to the word of God. The word came to Jonah. Jonah initially had the wrong response. I've been there before. I'm sure many of us have been here. God tells us something to do, and the something scares us, or we don't like it or agree with it, and so we do the exact opposite. Number three, that next R word is responsibility. We understand that we have a responsibility as believers, that once God has won us, that we need to go win someone. That's why it's important that what I just talked about, going to these teachers and letting them know, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm praying for this year. If there's anything I can do, you let me know. What are you doing? You're being a light in a world. Because just think, that teacher you tell that to, they're going to be cussed out at some point this year. Some parents going to come and blame them for the craziness of their sixth grader. But I'm here to tell you how the responsibility we have to not only carry what God has done, but to take the message of Jesus and our testimony to everyone and say, this is what Jesus did for me. And guess what? He loves you just as much as he loves me, and he'll do the same. And then revival. The world is waiting on us to unleash revival. Mario preached a great word last night to our young people titled, Never Be Ashamed. And at the end of that service, I said, it's amazing to me how loud we are about Jesus on Sundays, but how quiet we get about him Monday through Saturday. How loud we shout about him here. And can I just say, I love shouting about him here, and I love celebrating him here, but this is the least place we should be shouting and celebrating. Why? Because most of us already know Jesus. We already follow Jesus. We already worship and get in his word and have that relationship. But there is a world, and God is calling us as Jonas. And he's saying, I need you to go here. I need you to go here. Can I talk to the student that starts a new school this year? Perhaps you're elementary, going into junior high, going into college, or junior high going into high school, or high school into college, and you're saying, I don't know if I'm ready. God knew exactly how old you would be. He knew exactly what district you would live in. He knows exactly what school you're getting off at the bus tomorrow on. And I want to tell you that God knows where he's sending you to, and God is waiting on you to be that Jonah for that school and reach them for Jesus. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, go, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And that's where we left off last session, verse 3, for the new material. But Jonah rose up. So Jonah did arise. Jonah did get up, but he ran the wrong way. Jonah did not run to Nineveh. Jonah did not get on the next flight, the next train, didn't point his compass or his GPS towards Nineveh. He literally fled. The Bible says fled. When you flee, it means you've done something wrong or you are afraid. The word of the Lord came to Jonah in such a way that the size of what God called him to do scared him. Can I tell you this? That if what God calls you to doesn't, listen, I'm not saying scared as in you run, but if you wake up knowing that you can do it all by yourself, it's not God. Because what God calls me to do is so big that if I don't involve God, there's no way it's getting done. I would have to run the other way. But when God calls me to Nineveh, he didn't just call him to a block. He didn't just call him to the corner of the city. He said, hey, Jonah, the entire city is yours. I just need you to show up and start preaching. But the bigness of his calling scared him. Don't let it scare you. Don't let it intimidate you. Let it empower you. What? Little old me? God, you're going to use me? God, I can't wait to see how you do it through me. Because you know my ins and outs. You know what I'm bad at. You know what I'm not good at. You know my weaknesses. You know my past. Actually, doesn't know your past because it's under the blood. You know everything there is to know about me. And you still want to use me. God, that means you're going to get involved in a great big way. So Jonah did arise, but he fled. Wrong motivation. Right movement, wrong motivation. Jonah did go. He said, arise, go to Nineveh. He did arise. He did go. Wrong direction. Some of us are motivated for the wrong reasons. We make the same moves that other people make, but we do them out of spite, out of manipulation. Just think, everybody that had their hands up in worship were not worshiping. In your mind, you're already at Ruth Chris. You're already taking your nap. You're making your list of things to do. You've got a Google document open right now, and you're making your grocery list for HEB to deliver before tonight's sunset. Your heart is far from God. Jonah heard God. He arose like he was supposed to. He started moving like he was supposed to, but it was the wrong motivation and the wrong direction. He rose up and he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah's biggest problem was not running away from calling and purpose. Jonah's biggest issue was that he was running from the presence of the Lord. Can I just say this, church? Take everything away from me, but please don't take the presence of the Lord. Take friends away from me. Please don't take the presence of the Lord. Take position away from me. Please don't take the presence of the Lord. Why? Because everything I have is because of the presence of the Lord. And if it's taken from me, as long as I have his presence, I can get it all back. But I don't want to live a second without the presence of the Lord. He fled unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. When you look up the Hebrew word for Joppa, it means beautiful. He ran to what looked good instead of what looked like God. See, sometimes God doesn't call you to beautiful places. He calls you to ugly places that he is going to use you to make beautiful. Sometimes God doesn't call you to perfect places, but he calls you to fulfill purpose in a wrong place, bad place, off the beaten path place, because when you show up, you're going to bring the peace of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. Could it be that God has you showing up, young person, at the roughest school in all of San Antonio, and you're saying to yourself, I wish I could go to that prep school, and I wish I could go to that school? I was astonished when I heard and found out the other day that there are now schools that have Burger Kings in their cafeterias, Subways in their cafeterias. There's a prep school in San Antonio that has Papa Do's and Olive Garden delivered every day, and your boy grew up on Hot Pockets and cold corn dogs. Could it be, young person, that God knows exactly what he's doing? That Jonah, that God knows exactly where he's taking you, not because you are going to be a casualty of the crisis, but you are going to bring Christ into the crisis. And Nineveh is not going to be the same way that you left it. Insert your name for Jonah. Insert your job, your family, your city for Nineveh. And I am here to tell you, I know Joppa looks beautiful. I know Joppa would be easier. I know Joppa would look better on your social media. But God didn't call us to beautiful places. God called us to the streets. God called us to the broken. God called us to the dirty. God called us to the wrecked. God called us to the messed up. Why? Because we've got a message of Jesus. So he went to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Tarshish is known for two things. The ships of Tarshish. It was a great port city, but unlike other ports who were delivering wares and fibers and cotton and wheat, Tarshish was known for its great mines of gold and silver. And so the ships leaving to and from Tarshish were weighed down with thousands of pounds of gold and silver. And so Jonah wanted to run to the beautiful places. Jonah wanted to run to the wealthy places. But that is not where God called Jonah. God called Jonah to the broke places, to the poverty places. Pastor Becky, I meant to tell you last night, we're going to make sure that we support whatever efforts are going to be ministering to Haiti this week, suffering that earthquake yesterday. They are thousands are missing, hundreds are feared dead. And we want to make sure that people that are feet on the ground, that are bringing water and supplies. Why? Because I know it's not the best city in the world and the best nation, but I'm going to tell you, that's who God has called us to. Because Jesus said, hey, the naked showed up and you never clothed them. The hungry showed up and you didn't feed them. And we said, when did those happen? And God said, if you did it to those, you did it to me. You've got to treat the least like you would treat me. And so I'm here to tell you, it might not be a wealthy place and it might not be a beautiful place, but I'm right where God has called me to be. It's amazing that all of these church planters go to Miami, New York, Washington, Baltimore, L.A., St. Louis, Miami Beach, Houston, Dallas. I don't hear a lot of church planters going to Poteet. I don't hear a lot of them going to Nixon, Texas. There's a great Spirit-filled church in Nixon, Texas. We probably have more on the first three rows than they have in their whole building, but they're carving something out in Nixon. They said, God, you send me to a dirty place. You send me to a place that's not, that doesn't look the part on Instagram. Wherever you send me, there's a reason you're sending me. I love our reach team headed up by the Wellingtons because they're going to the people that are strung out on crack. They're going to the people that don't have a ride to church. They're getting ready to go to the clubs and the strip clubs and lay hands and minister and impart salvation and healing and deliverance. And that's what God was calling Jonah to do. Can I just tell you that Living Way is not going to rob other churches? We're going to fill this building with the hurt, the broken, the poverty, the dirty, the people that don't know Jesus, the 13 and are pregnant, the woman who's had 5 abortions, the man that doesn't know if he's a woman or a man, the man that likes other men, the women that likes men and women. We're going to fill this church up. And it might take us 6 months to get them to Jesus, but we're going to get them to the house, and then we're going to preach Jesus. We're going to preach against. We're going to do what God has called us to do, and we're going to win our city if it's the last thing we do. I know it's not beautiful yet. I know it's not wealthy yet, but I'm running to it. It's a revival for it. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, the wicked place, the house of fish. He wanted to go to the beautiful place. When we are running from God and out of the will of God, it is so easy to keep running and hiding. And when you read the rest of verse 3, and he went down to Joppa and he found a ship. Somebody say he found a ship. Check this out. Jonah found a boat going the opposite way. When you run away, running from always has more boats available than running to. If you're looking for a reason to check out, you'll have 10 every day. If you're looking for a reason to quit, you'll have 30 before you get in your car today. If you're looking for a reason to stop loving the person you married, there's at least 5 that you could point to right now. There is always more boats that are leaving away from the call of God and away from the presence of God. But I am here to tell you that there is a boat named Jesus, and that boat is big enough for everybody. It is not a lifeboat. It is not even a pleasure cruise. It's not a yacht. It is a warship. His name is Jesus. And I'm through with trying to get people to the lifeboat. I want them to find Jesus, because when they find Jesus, it will all begin to make sense. He found a boat, just so happened to find a boat going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare. Somebody say he paid the price. Oh man, he paid the price. There's always more boats leaving than coming. Jonah paid the fare. Running from always has a price. You said that it doesn't seem like it's cost me not fulfilling the will of God. It's cost you in ways you don't even know about. Blessings that God had at the brink of your life, the threshold of your door that you never stepped into because you started running from instead of running to. There are so many things that God wants to bring to your life, but as long as he sees your back and you're running away and you're running from, he cannot do that. There is always going to be a price. And can I tell you, if you run away from him long enough, it's not just going to be ambiguous things that you didn't know about. You're going to start seeing relationships and things that are start falling apart outside of the presence of God. So you're trying to scare people. I'm just telling you the truth. There's always a price. The Bible says not only did he pay the fare, that when he got on the boat, he went down into the bottom of the boat. When you are running from, it will always bring you down. I don't ever plan on going any lower than I am right now. At the least, I'll stay here for a day or two, but my job is to up my life, up my faith, up my prayer, level up in every single way. Can I encourage you, church? Don't go back. That is no longer an option. Don't go down. That is no longer an option. Listen, I can reach down without going down. I can reach down. I'm so strong in Christ, I can pull them up to my level, but I am not going down to get them. I'm going to pull them up to where Christ has pulled me up. The Bible says not only did he go down into the ship, but he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Running from, the fourth one, always puts you in the wrong crowd. He went with them. I don't know who them is here, and I don't know who your them is, but when you run from God, you will always have people that amen your bad decision. You stop serving at church, you're always going to have somebody to say,
I'm surprised you lasted that long. They're taking advantage of all of your free service, and you show up at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays and 8 o'clock Sundays, and you're always going to have the them that, amen, you're running from. But can I encourage you, and I'll say it until I die, get around people that when you start pursuing Christ, they're saying, run on, my brother. No matter what happens, my sister, keep running. No matter what you're going through, stay focused. Got just another moment left. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Verse 4.
But the Lord sent out a great wind. Oh, your theology's about to be wrecked. It wasn't the wind of the adversary. I know he's the prince of the air. It wasn't a storm from the devil. Quit blaming the devil on all of your problems. Most of Brandon's problems are self-inflicted wounds. I thought you could amen it better if I made it more about me. But I'll just make it plain. Most of your problems are self-inflicted wounds. Look in the mirror. You're holding the gun. You're holding the knife. I don't even know how you stabbed yourself in the back, but you did it. The devil didn't give you a flat tire. You've been riding on 4 bald tires. They're balder than your boy, and you've been riding on them for 3 months. And you said, oh, the devil is a liar. He ain't a liar. Just go get some new tires. Car wouldn't start this morning. You've been praying over that check engine light for 90 days. That wasn't the devil. That was our apathy, lethargy, and laziness. Everything bad is not the devil. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's our bad decisions. But every storm, every wind, it's not a bad thing. In this case, God sends a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was likely to be broken. The Lord sent a great wind. And this is what I'm going to end on today, and I hope this blesses you. The best way for you to overcome an aggressive and a combative wind, if you're taking down notes, 4 words for you. Write it down. Type it out. If you don't like the wind, turn your boat around. You don't like the wind? Turn it around. And what you're fighting will become the greatest blessing that will propel you to the purpose that God has placed in you. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't fight the hand that's providing for you and protecting you. And there's a wind that's blowing, and they're trying their best to go into the wind. And God's saying, quit fighting the wind. I sent that wind to take you to destiny. I sent that wind to fulfill the call of God on your life. I've come to tell somebody today what you've been fighting. You don't need to fight anymore. You just need to flip that boat around and start doing what God has called you to do. Don't run from it, run to it. Stand on your feet. I always have to help young people, and they mean well, but they say, yeah, since I started serving Christ, man, I've turned a full 360. I said, don't do that. You turn a full 360. You're right back where you started. You need to turn a 180. Now I'm headed in the direction I'm supposed to. And now the thing that I was battling against is now pushing me forward. Come on, the past that you were battling against, turn your back on it 180 degrees. And that thing that used to keep you up at night, instead of it being a liability, it is now going to push you. Why? Because now you're no longer worried about what was happening then, but you're saying, God, you brought me out of that. That's my testimony. It's my reason. It's my cause. Can I just brag on this young lady? I don't think she'd mind me sharing this. 4 months ago, Manny and I sat her down.
And we had a pastoral talk with her. A talk that was uncomfortable. Leadership, growth talk. It's a talk that I've had with at least 50 people in the last 20 years. Only 3 people of those 50 made it. The others got offended. Remember this, they got offended when I gave them the word of God and held them accountable. This young lady sat there in our office and we all cried together. And it wasn't a moral sin, nothing like that, and I want you to get that out of your head. It was a leadership, growth, maturing. She sat there and she said, I heard everything you said, and I'm going to do better. And I've seen this young lady level up in the last 120 days more than probably most I've ever seen in a 4-month period. Olivia, I'm here to tell you, girl, you've run from it a long time, but you started running to it. And you've embraced the struggle because you know in the struggle your faith is being made perfect. And the wind that used to batter you is now going to propel you. In the name of Jesus, Heather, if you'll lay your hands, step around in front of her, lay your hands on her head. In the name of Jesus, a new season is dawning today. Lord, she is 4 months away from her wedding day. But Lord, in the next 120 days, she's going to level up another 10 times. In the name of Jesus, this Jonah God is running to purpose, is filled with purpose, God. Lord, you have made a 180-degree change in her life. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, but you're just getting started. I pray for fresh anointing, fresh vision, fresh power, fresh love, fresh hope, fresh joy, fresh peace. If you're in this house and you're ready to quit fighting that wind, and listen, and I know what time it is, I'm not saying give up. I'm saying turn your boat around. Because then the wind starts pushing you to where you're supposed to, and you can still row and make it there twice as fast. But quit fighting what God has already fought and won. Rest in his victory. Fight from that victory. Turn your boat around and start going with the flow. Spirit fed, spirit led. I go with his flow. You don't want to go with their flow. Go with his flow. Where he leads, I will follow. This altar's filling up. Women of God, young man in this altar. I need a man of God that you've been fighting in that boat. It's cost you a lot. You paid the price. You've gone down. You're with the wrong them. Come on, Jonah. It's time to quit running from. Start running to. There's a revival for your family. Father, there's a revival for your kids. Husband, there's a revival for your marriage, for this church, your family, whatever it is. God bless you. Man of God, Dustin, man, Dustin's plugged in. I've known Dustin for about 3 weeks. He messaged me this week, said, hey, if you need me to come feed horses, whatever you need, I'll come do it. He's been at every service, every Wednesday night, every Saturday night, every Sunday morning. What are we talking about? I'm talking about a man that quit running from and started running to. If you're in this house today and you need anything, this is your moment. In 3 minutes, we're going to be dismissed. I'm going to ask Mario and Mandy. I'm going to ask Brother Kevin, Senior, Brother Michael, begin to lay hands. Sister Dolly, begin to lay hands and pray. I'm on these crutches, but I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. If you need to be saved today, if you don't know Jesus, please don't leave this room without accepting him. We're about to give all these backpacks away. It's going to be great, but none of that helps people here. But we want to help you for eternity. If you don't know Jesus, come down to this altar. If you've never given your life to Jesus, now's your moment. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd love for you to speak in tongues today and receive that gift. We baptize people in the first service. We'll baptize them right now. If you want to be baptized, now is the moment. Now is the time. Come on down. They're still coming to this altar. Come on, come on, come on. Families are coming. Young people are coming. Come on, come on. Come on, celebrate them. Celebrate them. These are big steps, big moves, big moves. While we worship, go ahead and start praying, Pastor Mandy. While we worship, I'm going to pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for, Lord, at least 4 or 5 dozen yeses in this altar. Lord, they're modern-day Jonas. They represent families, jobs, marriages. They represent purpose. They represent God's struggles. They represent prodigals. They represent a nation. They represent generations, God. Just like Jonah, God, it's so easy to run from it. But God, we embrace. We embrace you, Jesus, first, and then we embrace what you called us to. We cannot and will not be silent, God. We will go preach your word to a generational world that needs it so desperately. Lord, those that have been fighting, those that, Lord, it's cost them something to run. It's put them in the wrong places. They've gone down. It's put them with the wrong people to run, God. Right now, God, we turn our boat around, God, our direction. Our direction is fixed towards you, Jesus. Call out to him, my sister. I hear you. More importantly, God hears you. God hears you. That's it. Call out to him. Call out to him. Call upon the name of the Lord. He said you will be saved. He hears that cry. In this altar, in this room, online today, we run to you, Jesus. We flip that boat around. We're headed back to purpose. Headed back to presence. In the name of Jesus. That boat was a rocking. That boat was struggling. But the moment that they turned it around, your one turnaround, 180 degrees. Let God see your face, not your back. Praise God. While we continue to pray in this altar, ushers are prepared for the second mile. We're getting ready to give these backpacks away. If you've got a second mile offering, lift it up. God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being on time, your presence here today. Thank you, God, for presence, for transformation. Thank you for modern-day Jonas, men and women whose lives have been forever impacted, Tava, because of you, Jesus. Let it not be momentary, but let it be from here through heaven. We lift up our second mile offering out of love, out of obedience, going beyond. Multiply it for kingdom, ministry, and family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. If you got an offering, they're going to come by and receive it. Brother Eric Wellington, we'll talk about it next week. They're getting ready to have their next reach event. And this reach event is going to be 18-year-old plus. It's going to be one that's a little more serious. And so it won't be one for the kids because they're going into some areas in town that are like Nineveh. They're not coming to church. So we're going to take Jesus to them. I want this church to begin to make more inroads into our community. Inroads into the hurting. Not just hugging other believers on Sunday. But like Hezekiah, to go sit where they sit. Stand where they stand. See what they see. And meet their needs. That's my heart. That's part of our vision. It's part of our DNA. So I want you to get involved in those efforts. But more than once a month with our reach ministry. Tomorrow at your job. Tomorrow at your school. Today on your block. Be the Jonah. Run towards people. You could lead someone to Christ as they take their trash can to the road or check their mail. Find out who your neighbors are. Before we win the world, we need to win our block. In Jesus' name. Brother Michael. This is Annette, and she's going to get saved today. Sean, go ahead and come on down. This is Sean's sister-in-law. No, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. I just want him to stand with her. In Jesus' name. They're going to lead Annette. I know Annette and Patrick. Amen. God's doing great things. Listen, before you leave today, I want to encourage you, pray for our kids this week. Pray for all of the kids in San Antonio. This is how we're going to do it. If you have a child between the ages of kinder, pre-K and fifth grade, elementary school, pre-K to fifth grade, you're going to line up on your right, on my left. You're going to line up right down all the way. If the line gets long, we're going to go right along that wall. We're going to line up right here. You're going to start right there where Brother Jerome is. Junior high and high school, you're going to be on this side, and you're going to wrap around this way. Go ahead and line up, and our team will start delivering those backpacks. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to bless you on the here, but we also want to bless you where you're going. If you need anything, this is your moment. Don't run from it, church. Run to it. God's got a call on your life, and great things are ahead. We love you, and Jesus loves you 24 hours each and every day. God bless you. Have a great and victorious week.